Good evening, Denny. Here's the Exarban Road and the Santa Fe connections. The scenario that you provided for the particular detouring operation is certainly very interesting and well thought out, and it's turned out to be quite a challenge to make something that lives up to it. It's probably best to begin by looking at sheet 4 before you peek at the railroad layout itself, because you have to have the general arrangement, the idea well in mind, or the track itself can be very confusing and really not look too logical. As you can see on sheet 4, I had to work up a system in which the short line connects with the Santa Fe at two points. Otherwise, of course, the detouring operation wouldn't be logical or even possible. But it didn't make sense to have an arrangement whereby the Santa Fe would go directly from one point to the other. Otherwise, the Exarban line wouldn't have any business. So what I have come up with is a three-cornered arrangement as far as the Santa Fe goes. That is, out of the scene somewhere, there is presumably a junction between the two main Santa Fe routes. And the Exarban line cuts across the third side of the triangle. Then, in order to make sure that the Exarban has a real reason for existence, we require that in addition to the mountain range that causes it to have helper districts and all those good things, that we also give the Santa Fe a hard time so that they can't just run us ragged by having a much easier, even if longer, route. So I have picked a fictitious location, probably as if it was in the southeastern part of Colorado or northern New Mexico, where we're toward the east of the mountain sections of the Santa Fe, but still where there are enough major ridges to give us an excuse for mountain railroading. And this isn't too unreasonable, of course, because the Santa Fe's worst hill at Raton is actually east of the main body of the Rocky Mountains. I have used a fictitious, or at least I don't, if there is one, I don't know where it is, the San Felipe Mountains. And this ridge crosses both the Exarban Road and the Santa Fe, which off the scene somewhere has an almost equally steep and rugged crossing at something sort of like Glorieta Pass. We'll call it Gloriwata Pass. Then the Santa Fe line from the east, after crossing the plains, splits at a place which, of course, would be sort of like La Junta. And one line goes up in the general direction of Colorado, the other main line off to New Mexico, Arizona. Then at a subdivision point on the northern branch of the Santa Fe at Cimarron City, we have the junction and the main operating headquarters of the Exarban line. It would, of course, be nice to have it head north and east in the direction of Nebraska, but in order to have it come out that west is to the left and east is to the right, which generally makes for a more logical railroad, since it means that the sun is shining on the side of the trains that you get to look at. We have to have our Exarban line head off in the other direction. It goes up over Pinon Summit in the San Felipes, comes back down, crosses over the Santa Fe southwestern line at Ramon, and goes on to a mining terminal at Cochise. There is a connection directly at Cimarron City. In fact, the roads can share a common engine terminal. And at Ramon, there is a connection between the two lines, normally used for interchange. But in our case, of course, we'll serve when we have the detouring. Sheet 4 gives the examples of traffic patterns. Presumably, the Exarban line will originate a considerable amount of freight, which will be interchanged at Ramon with the Santa Fe if it's going southwest, and at Cimarron City if it's going east or northwest. The mountain at Gloriwata Pass on the Santa Fe is presumably enough of an obstacle that the short line is able to keep a hold of a good deal of the traffic, carrying it over its entire line, including the nasty hills of Pinon Summit, because the Santa Fe is not all that much easier to traverse. Now, when the Santa Fe is cut by a flood or a freight wreck or something or other, the Exarban Road is far from a weed-grown, old, beaten-up branch. It's actually a pretty fair line in its own right, so that the Santa Fe can use it for detouring important mainline traffic until they get back in service. And since there are two Santa Fe lines involved, there are two different patterns depending on where the break is. For example, if the Santa Fe is cut at flood site 1, the job would be to detour the traffic headed, say, from Kansas to New Mexico and Arizona. It will take the northwest route to Cimarron City, then it will be worked over the Exarban to Ramon, where it will rejoin the southwest route. Now, partly on purpose to make this a little more than just a matter of throwing a couple of switches and running the trains by the alternate route, I have shown the connection as headed back toward the east, which of course wouldn't do the Santa Fe any good, so that the train would have to be run around and headed the other way west at Ramon in order to continue on to the southwest. This also is about the only way it happens to work out physically in the space. We can also assume that sometimes the Santa Fe will get flooded at flood site 2 on the northwest line. And in this case, important traffic to the northwest would be worked over Gloriwada Pass into Ramon, head directly through the connection, run over the Aksarben Road, and then be reversed at Cimarron City to proceed on to the northwest. So this doubles our possibilities here. Of course, most of the trackage involved here on the Santa Fe is going to be imaginary or in the form of staging tracks. So maybe we could look next at sheet 3, which is the schematic and profile of the railroad. Looking at that in conjunction with the sheet 4, traffic patterns, you can see that the Aksarben Road is basically a yard or a terminal, point-to-point, extending across the Santa Fe at Ramon, and having most of its traffic coming from Cochise, the huge Lulu Bell mine, and a place called Overhung, which is the Santa Fe northwest line, which extends through Cimarron City, is primarily a loop-to-loop arrangement, but by using another connection at Ramon, it has a continuous route operating capability coming back into the opposite east end loop at Phantom Junction. Now, taking a look at sheet 1, we can see how this mess gets fitted into the available space and how some of the unrealistic aspects of it are kept out of sight. This is actually an ideal situation because coming up from the stairways into the middle of the operating space allows use of all of the walls to maximum benefit without being interrupted by the door. I have assumed that all of the things you said were permissible are in fact something that we can do, such as blanking off the top half of the doors into the other parts of the attic area. And as you'll see, I've used up the left-hand side of the space quite thoroughly. Once you get working in there, why, you might as well do enough to make it worth the effort. Also, I have assumed that the rolling stock will stay in proportion with the 1950s era, as you have stated. I have assumed that a 48-inch radius would be ample for the Santa Fe operation and 42-inch for the Aksarben Road. I would expect that any of the Santa Fe diesels and most of the steam power would operate satisfactorily on the 42-inch, so that the Santa Fe equipment will be able to make the detouring moves. On the other hand, if the Berkshire or perhaps some other larger Santa Fe equipment is acquired at some time and it is not operable on the 42-inch, then of course the detouring operation will become even more interesting as the people have to figure out how to get the trains over the line with compatible motive power and changing it to both junction points. It is a fully walk-in railroad, and it is possible to follow a train over the entire course of its operation over the Exarban line from one end to the other without doubling back or ducking under at any point. The total length of the line, if you're operating in a out and back fashion from one of the Santa Fe loops, the Argentine loop, and then over the Exarban route to its terminal beyond Cochise at Overhung, is 202 feet, or almost 2 scale miles, which is probably about as long a run as we can expect in this area without going into a double deck or a multiple pass by system. And I think from your response to the questionnaire that you're more interested in having the scenic possibilities emphasized rather than the possible additional timetable opportunities of having a longer run. I have indicated the width of the aisleways at various points, which may be a little bit less than what you would like, but I think represents a pretty good balance. Actually, I feel that beyond a 2-foot aisle, the space is really not all that much more useful, unless you happen to have a considerable proportion of very chubby railroaders. And therefore, since we've been able to keep it at least 2 feet everywhere, and in most places 32 inches and up, particularly a good wide area in naturally congested areas along the main yard, that this should be a comfortable railroad to operate. From a constructional standpoint, as indicated in the construction by stages progression, the center part would probably be the last thing built, so that during most of the construction, the center area would be available for hacking away at 4x8 pieces of plywood and other things that consume a lot of space. It does make a railroad a lot more comfortable to work on when you have a fairly large unencumbered area during most of the construction in which you can assemble the various segments of railroad. Since you indicated that the stud spacing was irregular in the walls at the sides of the railroad space proper, I wasn't able to try to miss studs by the routing of the track. In some cases, of course, the tracks can be shifted a little bit one way or another to clear them. In some cases, I'm sure the track will pretty much have to go where it's indicated, and if there happens to be a stud there, why, it'll be necessary to cut a bigger hole and put some faults cross pieces in above and below, or something or other. I'm sure it will be a worthy battle, but you can handle it. The design is reasonably conservative in the matter of how much clearance there is between different layers of track. At almost all points, I have allowed 6 inches railhead to railhead. And since you won't be operating a high cube equipment, or any locomotives probably in excess of 16 feet high, it should be reasonably easy to build a railroad without having to go to very thin roadbed construction where tracks overlap or cross each other. At one point between West Ramon and Ramon, where the Ex-Arbon crosses over, I think there's only 5 inches there, because that's going across on a bridge which can presumably have a thin deck, and a through girder bridge would be appropriate. Other points, pretty much we've maintained the spacing of 6 inches or better. Now this in turn determines the grades that we have on the railroad. So far as stacking the loops are concerned, and making some of the interconnections to give the operational flexibility. As indicated on sheet 3 in the profile, except for the big hill up over Pinyon Summit, the ruling grade on the Santa Fe loop-to-loop operation is about 1.3%. On the other hand, when operating in the continuous mode on the Santa Fe, round and round, the track from Phantom Junction up to Ramon is about 2.2%. If this is a problem as far as just running a train is concerned, and you don't want to have to mess with helpers or double headers or whatever with a reasonably long train, you can operate it in the opposite direction, in which case the ruling grade is much lower. The only way that these grades could be reduced, of course, would be to squeeze the layers closer together at the expense of a little trickier construction. And I don't think that this grade will cause any problem with your intended train lengths and general class of operation. Now, as far as the big hill on the Ex-Arbon is concerned, we have a situation where the grade is pretty much a matter of choice. That is, it goes up from one end over the summit and back down, and it's in the middle of the room. There does not have close clearances with any other tracks that it must cross over, so the grade is pretty much a matter of what your operating desires are. I have shown 3.5%, which will make it look like a real grade, which will justify using more than one engine per train on a practically long consist, and brings the summit up above eye level, which I think is always very attractive from a scenic standpoint. But if this is more than the grade that you want to tinker with, it can be reduced considerably by simply reducing the elevations proportionally as you work up the hill and back down. The overall height of the railroad is somewhat a matter of choice. Because of the sloping roof, there is a limit on the high side. I have shown the loops, which are pretty well located once you decide what that maximum curve radius is going to be. That is, to maintain a 48-inch radius, you have to go out about so far. And I have allowed at least 5 inches clearance above the railhead to the rafters, as shown on your sketch. That should make for a reasonably easy construction and not too much of a problem as far as getting equipment wedged in between the rafters and the track. That allows for about a 48-inch height at the main yard, which I think is appropriate for someone of your height. It might be desirable under normal circumstances to have an inch or two higher, but I think all things considered, that's about the best we can do. And that does have us up high enough so that at some of the places, such as the trestle on Wagon Wheel Loop, that the trains are getting up close enough to eye level to be displayed attractively. The bench work has been restricted in most cases to about 24 to 30 inches width, extending out from the sidewalls, because that's about as far as it's convenient to reach. In the middle, we have some wide places, and the contour diagram indicates ways of accommodating the essentials for maintenance and possible re-railing without having nasty pieces of construction like lift-out hatches or whatever. And I think that while, of course, a lot of the construction will be done before you fill in the scenery so that you can conveniently get at the back tracks to build them in the first place and put the scenery behind them, that when the railroad is scenic and is in operation, that it will be certainly not fun to have to go back there, but practical. The construction in the stairwell is certainly not going to be fun, but that should be something that only has to be done once, since there's a minimum as far as the complications of the track work is concerned. And the tail track at Overhung, which is necessary to allow trains to be turned around properly at Cochise, I have shown with a second track, which of course is essentially out of sight, is a staging track that will give you